Let's get underway.
Welcome, everybody, to Underway. I am your host, Tyler Wise, bringing you latest updates and insights around MLS in 30 minutes or less. We had a great week four of MLS action, so let's jump right into it for this week's match day review. The Vancouver Whitecaps took on FC Dallas. Dallas looked flat all game, and Vancouver were able to take advantage on the road. 54th minute, an in-swinger to Tristan Blackman saw the only goal of the game. Vancouver currently sits at 4-0-0, and it's surprising everyone. I mean, Jesper Sorensen minus Ryan Gold has somehow kept this team together and has them believing in themselves. I mean, they literally just knocked off Rayados in CCC, and it just feels different from last season. No one, including myself, had them finishing in the top of the West. But they are playing incredible football right now, and as long as they believe in themselves, well, baby, that's all that matters. Nashville took on Philly, and speaking of believing in yourself, Sam Surge has been finding his old form this season. The Englishman has finally been playing up to his name after coming over from the Prem in 2023. He had a great push-off to go top right corner in the 15th minute to go up 1-0. 33 minutes in, and Philly equalizes off an errant clearance after a corner. Jovan Lucas just sends a rocket into a wide-open net while Joe Willis was busy picking himself off the ground. To round out the first half, Quazum with a breakaway to go up 1 again. And that's where we take you to the 77th minute. The creme de la creme of this game, when things just go from bad to worse, when Gleznes bangs the back of Hani's head in the box to give Nashville the pen. To add insult to injury, Hani throws in a disrespectful Panenka past Andre Blake, and then cue the chorus of falling glizzies from the sky. What else would you expect on Dollar Hot Dog Night than a shower of hot dogs to be thrown from the stands like rain falling from the sky? Nashville gets out on a 3-1 win, and Philly shows cracks in the wall. If they aren't fit for a full 90, it's a weakness because they are built to be going balls to the wall, and when they go down, it's hard to climb out of that hole. St. Louis City took on Seattle minus Roman Berkey. But that does not stop the clean sheets from coming. Jackson Reagan starts off the game slipping and sliding in the 13th minute with an unbelievable self-imposed handball. Sets up a St. Louis City free kick right outside the box, and Edward Leuven is just as close to automatic as you can get from that spot. The game was uneventful outside of a chance from Hartle off a poor one-timer that was cleared at the goal line, and a handball from Obed Vargas in the box that negated a penalty as City escaped with a dub. Galaxy took on Portland up in the Rose City. David Da Costa assists Mora on a great pass down the line. The Timbers defense held up great until about the 81st minute when the Galaxy go over top of the box to Christian Ramirez, who slides it past Pantemis to square it up. And that's it. Nothing else of note at all. I mean, it was a good game. And oh, sorry. Except for what the hell are the pro refs doing? In the 93rd minute, Paredes gets slide tackled in the box. All leg, no ball, and instead of stopping the game like a normal person would do, they play advantage to Ariel Lasser's errant shot. I'm sorry, but in what world do you continue a play when there's an obvious pen in the box? And for VAR to not go back, it's inexcusable. Obviously, Neville is going to get fined for his post-game comments, calling on the refs to say, hey, that was dreadful. We've been getting horrible calls all season long. But he's not wrong. That obvious missed call cost them the game. And Galaxy are incredibly lucky to escape with a point. NYCFC took on the New England Revolution. And we can call this game, how hot is Caleb Porter's ass right now? I mean, why is he on the verge of being fired? Revs have been winless and have not scored a goal until Thiago Martins might have forgotten that he's being paid as a DP for NYCFC. A karate kick to the back of his own net past Matt Freeze was just insane quick time thinking and saw New England's first goal of the season. But no worries, because shortly after, NYCFC go on a break and Julian Fernandez just slides it past the keeper with his right foot. And to make things worse for New England, Alonso Martinez slots home the game winner off a scissor kick volley that finds the back of the net. Carlos Heal notably frustrated post-game, and there are rumors that his time in New England won't make it past the end of the season. It's not hard to think that that's the case when they're 4 games in, and their only hope for winning games is if the other team scores more own goals than they do. We had a barn burner up in Kansas City when SKC took on Minnesota United. Things were looking pretty bleak for SKC early on as Hassani Dotson sent an absolute screamer past Pulskamp in the 15th minute off a volley. Just a dart to the upper left side that left everyone in awe. The 31st minute, Bongi to Tani for a quick 2-0, followed by Perea to Tani for 3-0. Just a showcase of dominance until that dreaded third of the game. SKC found success going over the top to Shallowy to ice it past St. Clair. Okay, it's 3-1. It's a respectable loss now. But no one told Minnesota's defense as an own goal ricochets past defenders to make it 3-2. Surely SKC can't score again. I mean, they've tapped out their luck. They got no juice until Dejan motherfreaking Jovalic takes the game in his hand and just separates from Boxall to tie it up 3-3 in the 80th. Vermees' side just never gave up. And I see this as a moment shifter to carry them into the second half of March, as it snapped SKC's 10-game loss record. Charlotte took on Cincy, and at the end of the first half, our sweet prince, Patrick Agumon, gets taken down right outside the box, which definitely a pen, but man, it's hard to see someone that huge just get flung down. Have to think he sold it a little bit, being a little cheeky. That sets up a bad backwards pass from Cincy, and Leal Abada just goes off to the races. Zaha flanking him, but Abada takes it the whole way himself to go up 1-0. And 5 minutes later, Big Pat Agumon slices through on a through ball opposite side to get that second goal. Charlotte take it 2-0, and since he's floundering a little bit. SDFC versus the Crew. Recent USMNT call-up Max Arfson slides the ball past CJ Dos Santos in the 12th minute to have the Crew leading on the road. Things are all looking well and good until SD just kept trying Columbus over the top. Dreyer was finding success, but just not finishing on those chances. Then a boneheaded mistake from Malti Amazon on one of those over-the-top balls. Just a dumb red pulling Anders Dreyer down to the ground. It just felt like it was out of frustration. He gets sent off, and then a couple minutes later, the man everyone thought would score the first San Diego goal at Snapdragon, Ani Valakarian, just scores a gorgeous header off the corner. Almost does it again later in the game, but the Crew escape with a point on the road. Austin FC came to Los Angeles, and I'd like to call this the Guillermo Biro coming out game. Dude put the locks on Bawanga all game long, plus scored the only goal of the match off a corner. Uzuni looks so close to finding that final touch to put away goals, but it just has not been able to find his balance. LAFC looked flat and uninterested most of the game, and Austin sneak away with a dub. San Jose took on the Rapids, where Zach Steffen was killing it all game long, getting ready for that Nations League appearance. Cole Bassett found the back of the net to open the scoring, but it was Chicho Arango's volley that was jaw-dropping. If you guys have not seen it, do yourself a favor and look it up. The guy slides into a volley and just lasers it past Steffen and Vines. The thing looked like it was traveling 100 miles an hour. Colorado ends up scoring again off a 2v1 with Calvin Harris, hashtag Calvin Harris, not the DJ, scoring one of the slowest dribblers right past San Jose with Daniel off in no man's land. Rapid go on 4 games unbeaten. RSL traveled to Houston, and less than a minute in, Diego Gonçalves scores off an Anelli run. Houston got one back as Ponce scored and looked great off a header. But then, of course, the moon boy Diego Luna scores the game winner off another quick header. RSL take 3 on the road. And Diego Luna is looking to recreate some of that magic in Nations League. Orlando City took on the Red Bulls in a repeat of the Eastern Conference Finals. And Orlando scored early from Martin Ojeda. But the name of the game was dumb decisions from Robin Jansen, as he fouled Choupo-Moting in the box to give him a pen. And Moting just buries it. Atu with a overhead pass to Pasalic, who was alone to break the tie. Zhengar ties it up a little bit later off a cross that looked like he just smacked it with his junk. And the Red Bulls almost went off a Janssen turnover where he just looked lost and they just couldn't bury the breakaway. Orlando City skip away with a point that it could have been much worse. Greg Berhalter, Chicago Fire, took on TFC. It looked good for TFC starting off when DeAndre Kerr scored off a Bernadeschi crosser, but Burn takes a step back to reality as he gets pickpocketed from Gutman, and Gutman scores a screamer. Then Hugo Kuipers gets a cheeky little goal to put them up 2-1 and win the game. Triple G wins on the road as Chicago's starting to look the way they did in preseason, pressing high and closing in on their chances. DC United took on Montreal. Not going to talk too much about this game because it was a bunch of missed opportunities from Montreal, and Benteke gets a goal reverse from a handball. It's a 0-0 draw. But the big game of the week, Sunday night soccer. Inter Miami taking on Atlanta United in the Benz. 10 minutes in, and Brooks Lennon looks like he is back to his old form as he clips a crosser to the big man Latte Loth for a header inside the box. Rios Novo stood no chance stopping his old team as Loth just goes up in the air. It looked like Atlanta was in the driver's seat, but like what happens every so often with Atlanta, they get complacent and they make dumb mistakes playing out the back. 19 minutes in, Sleash gets caught heavy-footed, and who else takes advantage but the greatest player of all time? Messi pokes in to steal the ball away and just weaves around Williams and Guzan for the easy score. Atlanta looked kind of worse after that moment. It was a big momentum swinger. The only other real chance they got was Almiron passing to Latte Loth in the box before Saba runs into him for no damn reason. And Brad Guzan had 88 minutes of absolute brilliance looking like half his age out there. It was the 89th minute that he just had to watch a 5'8" Fafa Pico rise up for a dribbling header that honestly should have been stopped. This game always delivers, and I think it's becoming the great rivalry in MLS. But Miami is extremely lucky to escape Atlanta with 3 points. And that is your weekly wrap-up of MLS action. There's some other news in the sphere that I want to touch on real quick. MLS announced that the All-Star Game in Austin will be MLS versus Liga MX All-Stars. I think this is the best route to go if you're not going to go East versus West. I don't like seeing us playing Arsenal during their preseason and just getting shellacked. Like, let's play against our own competition in this hemisphere. Mauricio Pochettino announced his USMNT call-ups, and it is heavily MLS. Ended up having 9 players, including Patrick Schulte from the Crew, Zach Steffen from the Rapids, Tim Ream from Charlotte FC, still weird to say that, Diego Luna from Real Salt Lake, Patrick Ajiman from Charlotte, Brian White from Vancouver, Max Arfston from Columbus, Brian Gutierrez from Chicago, and Jack McGlynn from Houston. Those last three were all late adds after there were some injuries. And it looks like Camp Cupcake, January friendlies, actually mean something to Mauricio Pochettino because Diego Luna, Pat Ajiman, and Brian White were all a part of that squad and they all delivered. And now he is rewarding them with Nation League roster spots. The only other national team that had any MLS call-ups was Canada. Friend of the pod, Maxime Crépeau from the Timbers gets his call-up. Dane St. Clair from Minnesota United. Richie Larea from Toronto FC. Joel Waterman from Montreal, Ali Ahmed from Vancouver, Osorio from Toronto, Jacob Schaffelberg from Nashville SC, and Tani Olashei from Minnesota United. Jesse Marsh relying on proven MLS players for his Nation League side. As a side note, I have been approved credentials for Nations League, so I will be there on Thursday and Sunday covering the game, so you guys can look out for content coming about that. And if you guys happen to see me at the game or want to meet up, I am more than happy to. It'd be great to put some faces to the names of people who have been growing this community, so feel free to reach out to me on Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, or TikTok, and we'll try our best to make that happen. And I guess we should cover this, even though it's not MLS related, but it will directly impact MLS, make no doubt about it. Paul Tenorio has reported for The Athletic that ProRel is coming to the US. I'll hold for every Eurosnobs applause. Okay, now we can talk about it. ProRel will be coming to the US in 2028, just not in the MLS. USL, as you'll remember, just got their top division accreditation. So now they're implementing ProRel, something that everybody has talked about and everyone has an opinion about. Me personally, I don't really care either way. It's going to make for great storylines. It's going to be good for USL. They're going to be building off the top of the World Cup coming in 2026 and trying to get some eyeballs in 2028. Me personally, I love watching USL. I think it's a great league for what it is. It is smaller markets that get the recognition that they deserve. Like every city in America should have a soccer team. You know, the same way that is in London and France and Germany. Granted, the US is 100 years behind everybody else. But USL has been great for growing soccer in this country. And I think that this is an amazing opportunity for them to get the eyeballs that they deserve. Everyone talks about how MLS is this big conglomerate and 30 teams, and which means 30 owners, are not going to be able to agree on something. Well, look at USL. They have 42 owners across two separate leagues. They're combining it. It's going to be great for business. They're going to get a good TV deal on top of what they already have for CBS and ESPN. I think overall, it's just good for soccer in this country. And at the end of the day, we're all trying to grow the game, am I right? So whether it's MLS or USL or NPSL or whatever other upstart league you want to throw in there, I'm just happy to see it happen. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I have to think that in the capitalist society that we live in, it's not going to be as drastic of a financial loss as it is in other countries, but we will see. And that's it for us at Underway. I hope you guys enjoyed. Remember to like, review, subscribe, do all those great things that you guys are already doing. And until then, I am always your host, Tyler Wise. Love you guys. Bye.
Underway has been brought to you by 818 Productions. Any use of Underway, either acquired through podcast or video format, that is captured by a third party with proper credentials requires the direct written consent of 818 Productions and must be used in compliance with all requirements and restrictions stated therein.